What's going on, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Take a Chance podcast. Like you saw in the last episode, my co-host is not here. He is still sick. Get well soon, Will. That's all I got for you, buddy. Today, we have a very creative music mind, man of many talents, artist, singer, songwriter, producer, engineer. Like I said, man of many talents. One of the best music minds in the music industry, especially Michigan, I would say. We got Ethan Mark in the building. Thank you for coming on.
Appreciate you, bro.
Hell yeah.
It's cool to be here.
Just to kind of jump into it, you know, I want to know a little bit about, like, your upbringing, you know, like, where you're from, what you were doing as a kid before, like, music came into the play.
Yeah, so I'm from the suburbs. I'm from Grosse Pointe.
Okay.
So it's on the east side of Detroit, but obviously not in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. How far of a drive was it for you?
Here?
Yeah.
Like 40 minutes.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Is that same?
Yeah. I'm from downriver, like Flat Rock area.
Okay, bet.
Yeah. But yeah, upbringing, what were you up to?
Upbringing. Man, it was a somewhat normal upbringing. I played a lot of baseball.
Same, I'm a baseball coach.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, hell yeah.
What age do you coach?
I've done from 12U all the way up to like 17, 18, all the way up to varsity level baseball.
Damn.
Yeah.
You played?
Yeah. Well, I didn't play in college. I could have played in college, but I decided not to.
Nice. Yeah, same. I played a lot of baseball. That was, like, my thing growing up. Played up until, like, junior year, high school.
Wait, Grosse Pointe, they had a little league team that, like, went all the way, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wait, how old are you? Were you a part of that?
Nah, so I was in that age group, but in Grosse Pointe, there's 5 points. There's Grosse Pointe Park, City, Farms, Shores, Woods.
Okay.
I'm from the park, and the one that was in that was the Grosse Pointe Woods.
Okay.
Yeah, but we played against them. They're
dogs.
Dogs. Man, they're sweet. I remember, what's Little League when it's, like, televised? It's, like, 12U?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's, like, major.
Like, the Little League World Series, you're saying? Like, the official one? Like, the big one?
Yeah.
It's around that age, like 12, 13.
I remember we were playing summer ball, and the team just got back, and they're on, like, fed ball teams and shit. And we played against them, and they had this kid who was, like, 6'4".
12 years old? Yeah, 12 years old, bro. He's, like, the Benchwarmers movie? He's, man, like, I'm 12.
I swear. Yeah, right? Maybe he was...
Maybe he was Carlos from the Benchwarmers.
But, man, he threw, like, 70-something. And for, like, a 12-year-old, that's crazy, bro. We're seeing, like, 50... 60 maybe.
Yeah, for the people that aren't baseball fans, 70 for 12 years old is pretty crazy.
It's wild. But yeah, it is wild, bro. I got a single. I hit a single off him, and I was real proud of him. This is an accomplishment. But yeah, man, I mean, that's pretty much my upbringing. I was just super dedicated towards baseball. And when I was like 16, I kind of came to the realization, like, damn, I'm probably not going to go professional. And my dad was in, like, rock bands and shit growing up.
Okay.
And my mom likes hip-hop music, so I'd always be around, like, different music and shit. So I was like, all right, well, if I'm not going to, you know, go professional playing baseball, maybe I should switch my passion. So around 15, 16, I switched to music.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, when did that really come into play for you and, like, what inspired you or motivated, but you kind of already touched on that. Like, what were you listening to? Obviously, you said the rock and the hip-hop. Like, what type of rock and hip-hop? Who specifically, I should say?
Yeah. So when I was real young, my favorite band was Blink-182.
Okay.
Which...
Wait, how old are you?
Right now?
Yeah.
24.
Okay.
What about you?
23.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we kind of... We're in the same generation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Blink-182 is, like, my favorite when I was growing up. The Strokes. I still like The Strokes a lot. I think Lil Wayne was, like, the first rapper I got into. I remember 6 Foot 7 Foot came out.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid at school, he's like, yo, 6 Foot 7 Foot's fire. This is, like, fifth grade. And I was like, what do you mean, bro? And he's like, Lil Wayne? You don't know Lil Wayne? And he's, like, roasting me about it. So I looked it up, and I was like, dude, this is crazy.
Wayne, where's he at? Yeah. Wayne, I think he's...
Damn, he's not up there.
No, he is.
Oh, okay.
I think he's... Is it bad to say the greatest rapper of all time? Is that a stretch?
I mean, people are going to hate.
Oh, for sure.
I think Wayne's like the best punchline rapper.
Okay.
I feel like maybe punchline's not the right word, but I feel like his like wordplay is really clever.
Mm.
Like I move in silence. What's it?
The G. Yeah, like lasagna. That's a bar.
That's a bar, bro.
If you found the passion for it at 15, when did you really put like all the eggs in the basket? Like I'm going full time on this. Like this is what I want to do. You know, when did you start with Get Fresh?
I started Get Fresh when I was 19.
Okay. So those 4 years, you know, what were you like facing? I guess I could ask, like, I'm trying to think of a way to word this. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like when, what led up to that, to Get Fresh?
Yeah. Well, dude, I was super committed to baseball. Like I would work my ass off, like wake up at like 5 a.m. Damn. Go on runs and shit. At like 12, which is wild in hindsight. But that kind of consumed my life. So when I made the choice, like, all right, we're not going to go professional playing baseball. I was like, all right, if baseball's not my life, then it's kind of empty to some degree. You know, you take this big thing out of my life, then I need to fill it with something. So I kind of just went all in with music for real. Like as soon as I started, I obviously wasn't like super sweet when I first started.
Right. As everyone is, right?
Yeah.
What was like first for you though? Was it the production? Was it the engineering? Was it the recording, like yourself, like making your own music, you know?
I was rapping.
Rapping? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
People don't know that I was a rapper back in the day.
Oh shit.
But yeah, I had some shitty Dell computer.
Mm-hmm.
It was like some shit from like the early 2000s. And I just go on YouTube, look up whatever type beats.
Yeah, what was your go-to type beat,
dude?
Back in the day, rapping.
I don't even know, man. When I was like 15, I really liked Young Lean.
Okay.
You ever listen to Young Lean?
I think I know one song. I couldn't tell you the name of it, but I've definitely heard the name for sure.
Yeah, I liked all this weird like underground rap back then. So I don't know. Listening back to the stuff I made though, bro, is trash.
I want
to
hear some of it. Is it?
Nah.
Do you think it's like, if you like redid it though, it'd be kind of hard, or is it just like nah?
Nah. It's just like the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I feel like sometimes you gotta go the wrong direction to figure out like what your lane is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like finding your sound. You're saying?
For sure. Like you gotta experiment and. Yeah, man. That's why in the studio, when I work with newer artists and stuff, I always push them to kind of try different stuff because...
Like step out of their comfort zone, you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. Because sometimes they'll like be stuck on one thing and they might be doing the complete opposite thing that's like, I don't know.
I get what you're saying for sure. But when I was doing my research on you, for the people that don't know, we connected. Well, I found out of him... I'm not going to say I found out about you through Ricky, because I definitely knew who you were before Ricky, but after you told me he worked with you, I was like, oh, I'm going to reach out to him then. Like, I want to get him on here, especially just to pick your brain.
Shout out to Ricky, man.
Yeah, Ricky's a good dude, man. He's a really good dude. But what I found out about you is that you can sing your ass off. And I saw you doing a lot of live performances with Michael. He's playing the guitar.
Yeah.
When did you find out you could sing? Has it always been, like, something as a kid? Like, you were just...
Nah, a big part of that, bro, is going to Get Fresh.
Really?
Yeah, so where we're in the story, we were like, I was like 15, right? I started rapping and stuff. And, you know, I was just making music with my friends and just like building a catalog at that point. And when I was 19 was like the first time I went to Get Fresh as an artist.
Not even as a, were you even producing at this point or?
I was producing beats.
Okay.
More so just like, I don't even know, bro. They're just like unique, weird beats.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say there are any like style beats, but just like stuff that I'd rap and sing on. And I went to Get Fresh for the first time, worked with Michael. And I brought him 3 songs. I forget what one of them was, but one of them was a rap song and then one of them was a singing song. And like immediately he was like, yo, you're not a rapper, bro. So we still record the rap song first. And I was like, what you mean, bro? I'm not a rapper. I'm sweet. Because at that time, I didn't, like, I don't know.
You weren't able to comprehend, like, what he was seeing, right?
Yeah, but, you know, he kind of guided me towards singing, you know? So it's kind of cool that you know, we still got this relationship and we're now like doing these like live performances and stuff because, you know, he's a big reason as to why I, like, I don't know, man, if I didn't meet him, maybe I'd be on some Lil Baby type beats right now or some shit.
Still rapping?
Yeah.
That's funny. You have, what, is it 7 or 8 songs out right now? Like, you just started putting out music really like last year, right? Like actually putting it out on the DSPs and all that?
Yeah, I dropped like 4 songs in like 2020.
Okay.
And then for like 2 years, I just like was focusing on engineering, got into a relationship. And then when the relationship didn't work out, then I was like, ah, fuck. I didn't drop anything in like 2 years. So like last year, 2023, I kind of just dropped a shit ton of music because I was like, all right, I need to make up for
the lost time.
Yeah. So yeah, there's probably like around that, like 10 songs.
So did Michael put you onto the engineering side of it? Did he help you out with that? Is that how you kind of got into that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I went to Get Fresh, I was working construction. Out of high school, that's like what I did. My dad worked construction, so I was just working construction for like 2 years, just trying to make money, and I was like saving up for equipment and shit. And I don't know, man, I just didn't want to do that for my life. And I was like, all right, well, how can I find a profession that's in music, right? That's what my passion was. How can I make money from music before like blowing up or whatever?
Yeah.
Right. So when I went to Get Fresh, I like purposely worked with Mike, who's the owner. And in my head, I was like, all right, cool. I want to build a relationship with this dude and, you know, possibly work here. And just so happened, like, he liked my music a lot and we just chopped it up and it worked out that way.
Oh, yeah. So while we're on the engineering topic, for the people that don't know, I mean, I know I'd say most of your credits after doing a lot of research. For some people that don't know, you want to list off some of the credits, some of the people that you've worked with and how those relationships came about?
Yeah. Some of the bigger people would be like That Mexican OT.
That's sick.
He's fire. Boldy James. He's sweet. Detroit legend. Skilla Baby. Sada Baby. Sueno. Cash Kid.
What's it like being in a session with, you know, those bigger guys, you know?
Some of them are chill, bro. Some of them are chill. Some of them, like, have egos for sure. I'm not going to say who. But it's cool. They're professional. You know what I mean? This is what their job is. They make a lot of money doing this. So there's a different intensity that they bring into the studio that like somebody who just does it for a hobby might bring in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, like Boldy James, when he came to the studio, we put on a beat, we got right to it, and then bro was just like sitting down on his phone like this for like an hour. And I was like, in my head, I was like, is he on Instagram? Like, what's going on? But he's just writing a verse for like an hour straight, and then he went up to the mic and one took it.
Jeez.
It's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Seeing that process.
Do you prefer people that punch in or people that try to one take it? You know, like what's your average studio session looking like? Do you, because I've read some things that you're really involved with, you know, people's sound or, like you said, their confidence or, you know, just getting their sound right.
Yeah.
Working with those types of guys, do you like to put in that input more or is it more of like the upcoming people that you really like to help out a lot more? That was worded really bad, but you know what I'm trying to get at, right?
With the bigger artists, I try to treat every artist the same for real. So, you know, when I'm working with smaller artists, I try to give them the same attention I would give Skilla Baby if he's in the studio.
Right.
And it kind of works out to where when I do get these opportunities to work with these bigger artists and stuff, it's not like a thing for me. It's like, all right, I'm going to just treat Skilla Baby like I treat all the other artists. You know what I mean? But it's a case-by-case thing. You know, you can definitely, like, give too much input. Like, for Boldy James, for example, like, he has his process.
Yeah.
Bro was locked in. He just wrote it all down. One took it. I think... Yeah, I didn't have to give him any input for real.
Yeah.
Just ask him like, hey, is that mic height good? Do you want to do ad libs? Simple stuff.
Yeah. For people that don't know, the mic height is very important and crucial to the recording process. Man, bro.
I'll tell you what. I was mad because I worked with Skilla Baby. Mm-hmm. And the first time we worked, he was like standing up to the mic. And the mic was like this. The mic was at his chest. So I was like raising it up. And I was like, and he's like, what are you doing, bro? And I was just like, oh, I'm just raising the mic. So it's like up to your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's at his chest.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want to talk down on that. And I was like, it's not going to sound good. And he's like, no, I want to talk down on it.
He did the whole session like that?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, it's like, if I'm, I'll go out of my way to make sure the sound's right, you know?
Right.
Like some engineers, I feel like in that situation be like, okay, you know best. It's like, I'm going to tell you what's going to sound best, you know? But, yeah. You know, if you don't want to take my advice. So that's funny. But that's a cool session. Skilla's a cool dude, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, you got any funny stories with, you know, Skilla, Asada, whoever the case may be? You got any funny stories or studio sessions that can make the camera?
So I've got this new AI thing, right? And it can change anybody's voice to a separate voice. So I had a session with Sueno like a month ago, and we record this rap song. It's like some like hard, like talking about killing people and shit. And he went to the bathroom. When he's in the bathroom, I was like using that AI software, and I changed his voice to like a female British rapper. And so then he came back into the studio, and I was like playing it nonchalant. I was like, you want to hear it back, bro? And I played it. And it's super late at night, too. We're, like, just out of our minds.
Yeah.
From, like, long-ass studio session. So he was like, he's like, bro, what the fuck is that? And I was like, I was playing it cool. I was like, what do you mean, bro? Like, I was playing it like I didn't just change his voice to this female. And so I kept playing it a little bit more, and he's getting more irritated every time I play it. He's like, bro, look at me. What the fuck is that? And I was like, what, is there too much auto-tune?
Just fucking with him?
Yeah.
That's funny as hell.
Eventually, I told him.
It's kind of like on your upcoming music. You got anything special coming out? You haven't dropped an album yet or like an official project, right?
Right.
So is there anything in the works for 2024 or maybe even other things that you have touched, you know, whether that's producing or engineering?
Yeah. I mean, on the engineering side, me and Sueno have an album we're sitting on right now.
Oh, shit. I'm
just waiting on, bro, to... I think we got to do like one or two more songs and then it's like finalized.
He hasn't put an album out since Phil, right? Or Phil? Is it Philip or Phil?
Philip.
Yeah, that album was hard.
Yeah, it's sweet. This one's sweeter for sure. He hasn't dropped in like 2 years though.
I know.
We've been like trying to perfect this thing.
I really like Sueno. He's got a dope voice. He's got a dope cadence, dope flow. I fuck with Sueno a lot. But yeah, anything else on your plate that...
Yeah, so... I mean, that's something that's been on the horizon, like, on the engineering side. As far as, like, my music, I signed to this label in May.
Oh, shit.
It's called The Code.
Congratulations, dog.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Oh, yeah.
It's more of, like, a developing artist deal, but, like, they help with, like, distribution and shit. Anyways, we're looking at dropping, like, an EP in the fall time. So, that's on the horizon. Just been, like, trying to get as many tracks out as possible, just like making them right now. Then I'm gonna promote them.
Hell yeah. So as I am wanting to be a producer for the last, you know, 6-7 months, I was watching my buddy do it for about 4 years, and I've always enjoyed just the creation of music being made.
Yeah.
So I finally was able to, you know, put it down myself on FL about start of this year, I'd say. What's some advice you can give me for, like, or even people watching, just like networking with other artists and just trying to build that brand and that fan base, or, you know, just scaling a business to another level?
Yeah. So do you want like producer advice or like business advice?
I guess a little bit of both.
Cool.
Like business advice as a producer. Yeah.
Be professional, bro. There's so many dudes in the music industry who, like, treat their jobs as, like, just fun, which it is a fun job for sure, and I enjoy it, but, like, if people are giving you money, they'll, like, really appreciate if you're just as professional as possible. to a degree.
What do you mean?
I mean, you don't want to, like, be so professional that you kill the studio vibe.
Right.
Right? Right. Just, like, if they tell a joke, you're like just don't respond. But, yeah, just, like, being on top of the technical aspects. That was my game plan when I first started engineering. I was like, man, especially in Detroit, there's a lot of, like, unprofessional-ass engineers who, like, get high as fuck during sessions. I've heard stories of, like, engineers or producers just, like, hitting on, like, female artists. Just, like, creepy stuff, man. I've heard some wild stuff.
That's not professional at all. Nah. Can't flirt with the clients.
Nah, for sure. So, yeah, I try to be professional. And that'll take you far. Word of mouth will, like, it'll go a long way. Market yourself professional. Get some, like, professional-ass pictures. Website would be cool. Get, like, a Google page. That shit's clutch. Get some reviews on your Google page. As far as networking, like, if there's, like, a bigger artist that you want to work with, DM them. Like, just send DMs out. That's how me and Sueno linked up.
Mm-hmm.
I literally DM'd him. I was like, hey, bro, if you're ever looking for an engineer, like, hit me up. I'd be down to hook up the first session.
Yeah. It's hard. Well, I'm not going to say, like, bigger artists. Obviously, I'm not going to be reaching out to bigger artists. I reach out to, you know, the more up-and-coming, you know, especially as me being, like, a beginner-level producer, you know. I don't have the top quality, you know, like, the greatest beats, right? I mean, like, I make some good beats, but, like, it's not to, like, the top level where I'm going to reach out to those big guys. So, like, if I do reach out to those big guys, it's, like, getting the response is the hardest part, you know? That's why, but yeah. What I've been trying to do, I've been doing this lately, is, like, I'll go see who their manager is. Yeah. I find the email. I just send beat packs those emails. That's what I've been trying to do lately.
Yeah, no, that's smart. I was going to say, even then, though, like, man, I've reached out to so many artists before and just, like, no response.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's just part of it. And then when somebody does respond and you work with them, it's like, all right, cool. I'm a little more solidified now. Other people are going to see that. It's going to look good for my business. And, you know, it's one piece at a time you got to build.
It's pretty much like taking advantage of every opportunity thrown at you almost, right?
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to what I said earlier about, like, treating every artist the same, treating every session the same. If my first year, if I worked with Skillababy and these bigger artists, I probably would have been fine. But there's a bigger chance I would have fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
So since,
are you saying that because, like, you weren't educated or, like, skilled enough at that time? And yes. Then, like, they would have been like, this guy's, like, you know, is that what you're saying?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. It's like I wasn't as efficient as I am now.
Okay.
So if you treat every client the same, every session the same, right, it's like when you work with these bigger artists, it's not even going to be a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, it's just another session. Whereas, like, some people who, like, you know, smoke most sessions and just, like, hit on their artists and shit most sessions. When a bigger artist comes who's, like, used to professional studios, like, they're going to probably ruin that opportunity.
Yeah.
They have to, like, adjust to the moment.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like some people would be, like, fanned out. I feel like you almost can't be, like, fanned out in front of those people. You got to just treat them like another person, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, were you starstruck or, like, in, like, one of the first moments, you know, doing a session for, I don't know, Sada or whoever, you know? Like, is it, like, obviously you're not going to, like, show it to them, but, like, you know, is it, like, does it kind of hit you, like, damn, I'm working with Skilla and Sada Baby right now, like?
The Skilla one was pretty cool. I was just, like, I saw him mostly, like, online and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I was in the studio with him, seeing him, I was like, oh, this is, like, cool. Like, we're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm making my way in the industry. The Sueno one was cool. Sueno was, like, the first, like, bigger artist I worked with. And that one was really cool because, like, me and bro just locked in, like, as soon as we met. And, like, part of me was, it wasn't, like, starstruck, but it was more like,
Yeah, I guess starstruck wasn't the word I should have been looking for, but yeah.
It's just like, damn, this is cool as fuck, like. My friends like Sueno. He's a cool ass dude. You know what I mean? So it's just a cool moment. But yeah, man, I mean, that's like the best way to like fuck up.
You're saying like fanning out on someone?
Yeah, if you're an engineer and you're like, yo, Sada, can I get your autograph before you leave? Or like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? They're probably not gonna want to book another session with you.
They're just gonna think it's weird. Like, yo, yeah, I feel that.
I think you want to prioritize the relationship instead of the transaction. Because like, I could prioritize an autograph from Sada Baby and a picture with Sada Baby, you know what I mean? But it's like, A, he's gonna be weirded out, and then B, it's like, all right, I chose like clout instead of right. a relationship that could lead to more connections.
Right.
So like, yeah, man, you always wanna just be cool.
Yeah, just treat just be cool. Yeah, just treat yourself. treat every session the same. Don't is what you're weirdo. Saying. Yeah. I also wanted to ask, but you told me you weren't on FL, so I was gonna ask just like, and I don't know if you can spill the sauce. If not, we can cut it. But I was gonna ask like advice on just like mixing and mastering, especially beats. Yeah. I mean, you can go for vocal. You can do whatever too. I mean, for people watching, that might be an engineer. You know, it could help them out.
Yeah, I'll try not to say anything too technical.
Yeah, I don't wanna
like bore. I use Pro Tools.
Okay.
So Pro Tools is like my favorite software for just like mixing. It's like the industry standard.
Yep.
It's cool for making beats. I feel like FL or Logic are better for making beats. But as far as mixing beats, I would just say this, like, reference your favorite records and see how they mix the beats.
What do you mean exactly? Like, what should I be looking for?
So, who's like an artist you really like? Who's like sounds professional? Let's say, for example, Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Even if you side with Drake.
I'm cool. Dude, I love that feud. I'm not going to lie. That beef, that's awesome. It's probably the best thing that's happened in hip-hop in a long time. Probably the best thing for hip-hop in a long time.
Nah, for sure.
But I would say J. Cole. I'm not going to lie. I fuck with J. Cole pretty heavy. I mean, I fuck with all three of them, but...
Yeah.
All right, Kendrick, for example.
So, we'll say J. Cole.
Okay.
But, let's say you're making a beat like similar to J. Cole type beat, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little more
boom bap-ish type of deal.
Boom bappy, right. Lyrical type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe listen to a couple J. Cole records as well while you're like finalizing the beat and leveling it and be like, oh, okay, his kick drum's a little bit louder. You don't have to copy his mix exactly, but I think referencing is super important, you know, because you got to think these producers have been making beats probably for like 10 plus years.
Right.
They got mixed by engineers who are probably mixing for like 10 plus years. So
right.
It's always cool to reference. That was really big. I don't reference as much, but like when I was first starting mixing, I'd reference a shit ton of just like professional records.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. I was more so, well, I guess I can ask you this because I was going to say more so like on the plugin side. I was going to ask your top five favorite plugins of all time.
Number one, FabFilter Pro Q on every mix. Shout out to FabFilter. I'm a nerd, bro.
What do you mean?
Shout out to FabFilter. Ain't nobody knows what that is unless you're an engineer. But yeah, that's the best EQ for sure. I feel like most engineers would agree. Soothe 2 by Oak Sound. That's a dope one. It's like a dynamic equalizer.
Okay.
So instead of just like cutting a frequency like for the whole mix, it'll only cut that frequency when it's like resonating really loud.
Okay. I think I saw like a YouTube short on Soothe.
It's cool.
I think I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
It'll be overdone for sure. Let's see. My favorite limiters, FabFilter Pro L. That's like how I master.
Okay.
You should probably get that for sure.
Okay.
If you want to get your beats loud, sweet. Valhalla Vintage Verb.
Yep. I'm familiar with that one.
That's a dope reverb.
Yep.
I use it on every mix for real.
That's the guy that I was, you know, learning from for the last 4 years. That's what he uses. So, yeah, I know what that one is for sure.
It's tight. And what's that for?
Yep.
Damn, what's my fifth one? It's got to be a good one. I like Sound Toys Little Micro Shift. It's like this stereo width plugin.
Okay.
Kind of sounds like a chorus effect a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. That's my sauce for real. I'll put a little micro shift, then I'll EQ it, and then I'll throw delay on it, and then I'll put a Valhalla Vintage Verb. That's how I do my delays. It sounds crazy.
Okay. I was going to say, you said the EQ second. Why? I've always heard do EQ first. So what's your reasoning behind that? What was the first one you said before the EQ?
The little micro shift.
Okay.
In that situation is because little micro shift is like a effect and I want to EQ some of that effect out.
Okay.
But yeah, for sure. Like generally speaking, you always want to EQ first and then compress. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to compress and then EQ what you're compressing.
Right.
You want to EQ the unnecessary frequencies out and then compress so the compressor works less.
Right. What would you say your favorite is out of all the skills that you work on, whether that's recording, producing, engineering? What would you say your favorite if you had to like start bench cut?
Like my music, engineering other people's music.
Yeah, I'm just saying, what's your favorite out of all three? Is it
Man, I love recording myself, dude. That shit's so
good. And that's what you started off on too. Yeah, so yeah, that makes sense.
That's so therapeutic, man. That's really my form of therapy, is just recording myself. And I feel like when I'm recording, I'm able to like tap into like subconscious shit that I might not be able to tap into, just like
speaking, generally
conversation or stuff. Like sometimes I'll make a song and then I'll listen back to him and be like, damn, bro, you're saying some real depressed shit. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I guess that does resonate.
But that's the big thing with music, though. You want it to resonate with people.
Yeah.
You want it to be able to touch other people. You want other people to be able to relate to it, you know? So, I mean, whatever you may be going through, someone else, I'm sure, is going through, you know, similar situations, so.
Yeah. That's why I love music, bro, because it's like, A, it's therapeutic for me, but at the same time, like, whenever I'm going through some shit, I like to hear other people going through some shit. So then I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not alone.
You're not the only one. Right. And I'm glad you said it's, like, therapeutic for you. Because, like, you know how I said, yeah, I made music, but, like, I never really took it too serious. That was, like, my thing. Like, I always enjoyed writing growing up.
Yeah.
Just whether I was in, like, English class or whatever. I always enjoyed writing. And it just kind of translated a lot. It translated easy to music, for me at least. So, like, and like I said, I enjoy the creative process of, like, creating a song, creating whatever it is. So, like, it was, like, a therapy for me. But, like, at the same time, it's, like, I didn't want to pursue that full time. So, it was just, I don't know. But I like how you said it was therapeutic, because that's kind of how I felt, too. It was just, like, it was a good way for me to express my emotions, get stuff off my chest, right?
Yeah, and, too, it's, like, a lot of people, I feel like, make music for weird reasons. Like, they'll make music to clout chase, or they'll make music to...
Not the right reasons.
Yeah, just for, I mean, who am I to say it's not the right reasons? But, like, I feel like I resonate more with music from an authentic place. You know what I mean? If somebody's, like, feeling what they're saying and it's, like, actually therapeutic for them, I'm going to resonate way more than if it's just some dude, like, trying to be cool and being like, I got a mirror on my jeans.
Yeah.
VVS. It's like, cool, bro.
All the materialistic stuff you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
There's a time and place for that.
Yeah, no, it's cool for sure, but...
If I'm going to, like, a club or something, I'm probably put on some some shit.
Do you ever get, like, a writer's block or a creative block, whether it's in all three departments or four departments that you're involved in? Do you ever get that creative block? And if so, how do you overcome it?
Yeah, definitely with writing music. Man, it's like, I try not to force stuff. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I'm just not feeling inspired to make a song, a lot of times I'll just not make a song.
Simple as that, yeah.
Yeah, because if you keep trying to force creativity, you're just going to burn yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened with engineering too. There's times where I'm just grinding like so many hours a week, and it's like by the end of the week, it's like, oh man, I don't want to be in the studio. So it's like, I think the biggest thing is just, like, listening to your mind and body, and if you're just not feeling inspired, just take a step back, maybe watch a movie, watch something that's going to inspire you,
yeah.
Or just live life a little bit.
That's our most common answer is just go live life. Because, like, if you got nothing to talk about, you got to live life to find something to talk about.
Yeah, but it's weird, too, because, like, sometimes you have to force it a little bit or just give it a kick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if an opportunity comes up and you're just not feeling it, you know, you can't just always wait. You know, so it's a fine line. You don't want to just be constantly waiting and then not being productive whatsoever, but you also don't want to burn yourself out and then just hate music.
Right.
Yeah.
What was your longest studio session? You said you got burnt out or, like, you do too many hours. What's your longest studio session?
This is when I first started, man. He booked a session from 5 in the morning to 10 p.m. at night, which, what is that?
That's 17 hours. That's nuts, dude.
I don't think he finished it. I think we got to, like, 7 p.m. and he's, like,
tapping out.
Bro, I don't got nothing. But it's, like, for him and his friends and shit, but still, it's, like, who the fuck's up for 17 hours? That's a long-ass day.
That is. In the studio, too, your ears got to be screwed after
dude,
that.
My ears were fucked. That's something I don't do anymore. I used to work these 12-hour days in the studio, get fresh.
Yeah.
I'd start at 5 in the morning because that's like the only time that's available. And, yeah, man, I try to space out sessions now. Your ears, like, at a certain point, your ears are blown out.
Dude, I'll be making a beat for an hour, and I'm like, I'll send it to my boys. I'm like, yo, is this hard? Like, I've been listening to this for the last hour. I can't tell anymore. Like, and they'll text me back. They'll be like, no. I get burnt out just after an hour or two, especially if I'm doing it with my headphones on. My ears get cooked.
That's some good advice for just, like, making music or anything is, like, take breaks.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's been times, bro, where, like, I try to redo a line. Let's say, like, I just don't like one line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just hear it so much that I, like, try to redo it, like, 30 times. And then I'll just go back to the original one and just keep the original one.
Just waste a bunch of time.
Dude, yeah, because your ears can play tricks on you, man.
They really do.
The more times you can listen to the song with, like, fresh ears, I feel like the more accurate your decisions are going to be.
Do you believe in the day after, like, theory?
What's that?
Well, I don't know if it's actually called the day after theory, but, like, you'll make something and you're like, oh, I'm not sure how I'm feeling about it. And then it's, like, the next day. You have, like you said, the fresh ears, and it's just like, nah, this is hard. Like, this goes crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the time I'll listen to a song. I'll make a song. I mean, this goes for engineering and making my own music, but I'll make a song, and then sometimes, man, I think it's the hardest song, and then I'll listen to it the day after and be like, yo, this shit sucks. Sometimes it's vice versa. Sometimes, like, I'll make and be like, oh, that's okay, and I'll listen back and be like, this is crazy.
It's kind of like how people say, you know, like, artists will never release, like, some people's favorite songs. They make just heat, and it just sits in their vault. They never put it out or nothing.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to that.
Yeah. I forget who said this to me. It might be my A&R. But he was like, people have the worst perception of what their good songs are. I feel like it's like looking in the mirror. It's like you can look in the mirror, but you see your face every single day. So it's like you don't know. I don't know if this is a good example.
No, like, I get where you're going,
you know,
with this.
What I'm saying? It's like,
I think what I was trying to get at is, like, you hear it and you know it yourself and you probably know that you could do better. And it's just like you hear it too many times and you just get sick of it. I think that's what it is more so than anything. Like, you just get tired of it. But then you show it to someone else and they're like, bro, this is the best song you've ever made. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And too, it's like your voice.
Yeah.
So, like, you hear all the little imperfections,
yeah,
more so than someone
else
will.
That's a good word right there, imperfection. That's a good word.
That's what I was trying to say. I was like saying looking in the mirror,
yeah,
because it's like you see, like, oh fuck, my nose is a little crooked, or
yeah, all the bad qualities that you see, but, you know, some people see the brighter things or the glass half full. I should say.
Some people like make terrible music and think, like, everything they make sweet. So sometimes some people don't see enough imperfections. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird. I always say, let's get a third-party person who you trust, right? Because
one of your boys that'll tell you, hey, this shit's ass.
For real, bro. I always respect somebody when they tell me, like, nah, that's not it, bro. Because, like, why am I even asking you if you're going to say everything I make is sweet?
Right, right. Yeah, having someone that says yes to the everything. Oh, this fire, this fire, this fire. It's like, all right, well, tell me when I'm doing something wrong. Like, it kind of pisses me off when someone doesn't give me like their honest opinion. They're like, oh, you know, it's cool. Like, whatever you think about it. No, I want to know what you really feel when you hear this, or like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a big thing with engineers, bro. I feel like a lot of artists fuck with me because, like, I'll straight up tell them, like, nah, that let's redo that.
Yeah.
I'll make an artist redo a line, like, 5 times if it doesn't sound right because, you know, I don't want them to leave the studio and then listen back to him and be like, damn, I should have redone that line.
Right. Or, hey, can you fix this? You run across that a lot, don't you, probably?
Yeah.
Hey, can you fix this or can you do this?
To a degree.
It's got to be a pet peeve, right?
For sure, like revisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I have people send me songs like all around the world to mix. And so sometimes like I'm not in control of the recording. And there's for sure some people who just like get in their heads. Demo-itis is a thing too.
Demo-itis.
You ever heard that?
No, I mean, I can kind of picture what it is, but like if you want to give me the actual.
Demo-itis is, let's say you made a demo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you listen to that demo like 200 times. It's stuck in your head. Then you send me the song to mix, right? And I mix it, and it sounds way better than the demo.
Completely different track, almost.
Yeah.
Right.
But the demo, they listen to it so many times that the new version sounds bad to them because the demo.
They're so used to hearing that.
They're so used to the demo. So that's the most frustrating thing, when the artist like over listens to it, and then I mix it. And then all the notes are like, oh, well, I like how this sounded in the demo.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm essentially like stripping back my mix to sound more like the demo. And I'm just like, all right, bro, well, why'd I even mix it at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. What would you say your favorite song that you've ever made, as well as engineered or produced? If someone watching, if they want to go listen to a song, what yeah. song would you recommend or suggest them to listen to from you?
I'd say go on YouTube. Look up Ethan Mark 27, and there's a cool music video to it too. But it's a cool song. It was the first. So remember earlier when I told you like I took 2 years off of like making music, damn near my own music, to focus on my business, and then I was in a relationship, just like focused on life shit. And this was the first song that I made after those 2 years. So it's like I had all this stored up creativity, and I feel like on that song, kind of just like.
Threw everything at it.
Yeah, it was tight.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a cool one.
Wait, you said that was called what?
27.
27, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying look up Ethan Mark 27 as in like a username.
No. The song's 27.
Okay.
Don't look up Ethan Mark on Google. There's a fucking porn star named Ethan Mark on Google, bro.
Same exact spelling and everything?
Yes, bro. It's like some 70s like male porn star. I need to, I don't know.
Yeah, how do you go about getting that down?
I don't know. I guess get more famous than that. But yeah, that's a good one. And then one of my favorite songs that I've engineered. I'm going to say one of my favorite songs because there's so many. I can't like pick one.
You had a song go, it was on an album that went number one, right?
Yeah, that was tight. That was that Boldy James song, Live from the Roxy. And it was a feature on this dude named Ransom's album.
Okay.
Ransom and Harry Fraud. I don't know if you're familiar.
I'm not too familiar. I just saw it on your Instagram.
Yeah, so that was tight. Yeah, Boldy came through and just did like a featured verse on it.
Another one take? Really?
Yeah, bro. That's the only way he does it.
That's crazy.
It's super wild. Because you'd think like, I feel like Boldy's really lyrical and like his flows are complex.
Mm-hmm.
So like you'd think like bro's punching in. At least that's what I would have thought. But nah, he just one takes it.
Like to the ear, you're saying it sounds like he's punching in almost?
It's just like, no, not to the ear. It doesn't sound punched in, but just like it's difficult. It's like complex flows that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So like in my head, I was like, all right, he's probably punching in so he can like get this super clean. But nah, he's been doing it for so long.
It's wild.
Bro's like, I don't know, he's like 40, I think, so he's probably been doing it for like 20 years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Being able to one take is insane.
Man, my recording process is, I'd be like doing so many takes, bro. Like
just line by line, you're saying?
Sometimes. it's like a balance between like perfectionism and then like, you know, I feel like a certain emotion can come through from freestyle shit. So mm-hmm. I try to do that, but like I said earlier, like sometimes there'll be like one line that's off and then I'll redo that line like 30 times. So
yeah, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
How long does it usually take you to make a song?
I'm quick with it. Lately I've been trying to actually write more lyrics, but a lot of times I'll just punch in freestyle. You know, like I'll move the mic up to the desk that I engineer at and I'll literally just punch in and I really try to get the emotion. I feel like that's one of the biggest parts. That's one of the reasons I like working with Sueno a lot. And one of the things I learned from working with Sueno is he captures emotion and shit. Like when he's recording, he's like, it's like moving around and
into
shit.
It and everything. Yeah.
He's getting his whole, he's embodying everything he's saying. So that's why like when he delivers what he says, it sounds like he means it. So
yeah.
When I'm recording, I try to catch that initial inspiration and just like put the song together before I lose it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, 2 to 3 hours for recording vocals.
Do you ever find yourself like, do you try to maybe like hum a melody and you hear a beat, you know, you're just like, oh, like just trying to find that pocket, right?
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Okay.
I'll find a beat or I'll make a beat or have someone make a beat. And then I usually hum a melody. Usually the first melody that comes to me, I always go with, because it's usually the most natural melody.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's usually the one that, if it went to my head first, it's probably the most natural one and most like organic one.
That's the word I was about to use, was organic.
Yeah, instead of trying to like force some.
Because
there's sometimes I try to force a melody and it's just like, you know, it sounds a little,
it's just not hitting right.
A little janky, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a sweet process, is like get your beat, hum some melodies, record yourself just humming a bunch of melodies throughout the whole beat.
Right.
Go back, maybe do it again, and then from those two takes you should have like 3 or 4 melodies, and then you can like chop them up and structure it and then start writing lyrics or start freestyling to those melodies,
finding words that fit that.
Yeah, unless you're like really trying to say a specific thing, you know, and you like need to like physically write it down so it's exactly what you want to say.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What would you say your biggest weakness is as a creator? Like, I'm just going to use that word as, because I don't want to just keep saying artist, producer, engineer. But like, what would you say your biggest one is that you know that you can improve on or want to improve on in the future? Even if it's not music related, it could just be anything in life. You know, what do you think your biggest weakness is? Something that you want to improve on?
I think, setting high standards for myself. I think it's a strength and a weakness.
Okay.
It's a strength because like you have to set standards for yourself.
And, as you should.
Yeah, and goals and stuff. But at the same time, if you set so many standards and have so many expectations for yourself, you'll become more of a perfectionist and you'll start to be less, you'll start to be so like overcalculated with everything you do that you kind of lose the flow of life. You kind of lose that natural energy that comes
through. That spirit, yeah.
Yeah, and that, I mean, like, that can happen in the studio. I relate music to life a lot because, like, let's say you go to the studio and you're, like, overthinking making the song. You're probably not going to be tapped into your emotions as much. You're going to be overthinking it.
You're losing focus, essentially.
Yeah. But that could be the same. Let's say, like, you're going on a date with a girl and you're, like, trying to impress her and you're trying to say all the right things, you're going to come off weird. You know what I mean? You're going to be overthinking what you're saying. So it's like, I think just like getting out of my own way. I feel like most people could benefit from that. Just getting out of your own way and just like letting things happen naturally.
Right. All right. This is kind of a two part. If you could make a collab album with any artist, who would it be and why? I guess we could start with you actually recording an album, as well as maybe engineering or producing.
Start with me recording one.
Yeah. Anyone in the music industry?
Sheesh. I would, this would be a weird album for sure. I'd probably want to make one with Kanye West.
That's not a weird album at all.
Well, genre mixing, it'd be for sure different.
Which Kanye would you want? I hate to say it like that, like which Kanye, because it's obviously all the same Kanye, but like which era of Kanye, I should say. Like College either, Dropout, Graduation.
Either. I mean, I like all the eras for real, but yeah. I think like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and Yeezus. I feel like bro was tapped into some like high quality, like he had Mike Dean producing stuff. Like he was really tapped into getting that quality as high as it could. So that'd be cool just to like see where his head was at that point.
Would you want him to produce that as well? You guys both go in on the producing, or would you want someone else to just executive produce like the whole thing?
Damn, I mean, if it's a dream album, I'd have Kanye and Rick Rubin. I feel like Rick Rubin's sweet when it comes to like executive producing.
Yep.
His taste is like really solid. If you look at like his track record, it's crazy.
Oh yeah.
And then what was the other one? If I could
just like if you could engineer, produce an album for anyone, would be Kanye again.
No, I gotta come with something cooler. I like mixing singing stuff. I feel like mixing like a Dominic Fike album would be sweet.
I'm not too super familiar with his catalog, but I know who he is. I know he's talented for sure.
He's tight. He's kind of like indie rock.
Yeah.
Raps a little bit too. But yeah, he's real talented. People are going to be mad about that. They'll say, all right, Kanye's cool. They'll be like, damn, you didn't say Paul McCartney or like one of these. That'd be a tight one, Paul McCartney.
I feel like anyone from back in the day would be dope.
Hell yeah. So maybe that actually.
I appreciate that music so much more because they weren't limited, but they were way more limited to technology purposes than what we have now. Like the skills that they needed to have back then is way different than what you need now, I feel like.
Yeah, because everything was analog back then. You got to think like all the equipment is like knobs and stuff, and which I have some analog stuff, right? Because it sounds better.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the differences between the two, really. I just know that it was way different back in the day, and that it took a lot more back in the day.
Yeah, back then you needed like a $1 million studio. And you had to be a tight artist, right? To get signed, you had to get signed back then. Now you have the internet, so like independent artists don't need to be signed to blow up. But back then you needed a label, so you had to be talented, like on face value. And then yeah, the mixing and engineering was, you know, people are mastering songs to tape, right? They're just, a lot of this stuff was permanent stuff. Like nowadays we can go back and tweak whatever.
Yeah.
We have computers. Back then it's like, all right, you record your vocals, that's how they're going to sound. I'm going to do a little bit of mixing.
It's crazy.
It's limited, bro.
How do you think you would do back then? You think you'd be pretty solid?
Yeah, I think so. As far as a musician, I think about that sometimes. I'm like, damn, if I was born in like the 70s.
Like a different era?
Yeah, I wonder. I feel like I'm good at putting in the hard work and like making quality products.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I would do well. And sometimes it's like, I feel like with TikTok and all this like lazy content, which, no hate to TikTok.
You're saying like the short form content?
Yeah. But a lot of it's just like a dude will post a video of him just like dancing to the song and it'll blow up. You know, I need to tap into that more. It's like just like short form content that's not necessarily like super thought out.
Right.
But just like getting out content quick.
Do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
To a degree. I feel like I have a balance kind of where it's like, you know, I try to get the raw emotion, but like get it in a way that's consumable. Like I don't want it so raw that like you hear that shit, it's like jarring to the ear.
Right.
But yeah, engineering for sure makes you want to be a perfectionist.
Oh yeah,
man, because like frequencies and stuff, like I'm getting in the nitty gritty.
And especially for the average listener, they don't hear the little shit that you're hearing, you know? Yeah. Like, there's like one little thing that might stick out to you, but, you know, little Johnny from down the road might not hear that type of stuff. So, I don't know. I think that stuff's interesting.
Yeah, fuck little Johnny.
This is my favorite question to ask.
Yeah.
5 dinner guests, dead or alive. Can be anybody. It doesn't have to be musicians or artists, or it can be presidents or celebrities, athletes, whoever.
Yes.
Family members, your dog from 06, or, you know. I don't know.
I feel like George Washington would be fire.
I don't think we've heard that one yet.
One.
George Washington's a good one.
Sweet.
What would you want to talk to George Washington about?
Dude was a badass, you know? He, like, overthrew, like, the British government and shit. I don't know. It'd just be cool to, like, tap in his mindset. Let's try to be versatile. That's my president. Let's say, like, a sports figure. I feel like, Muhammad Ali would be
sweet. Mm.
Dude's a legend.
You think them two would get along?
Oh, no. If we're talking about trying to get like a cohesive dinner party, maybe.
Nah, just you're 5. They don't got to get along.
I'll throw Kanye in there just cuz.
Kanye and George Washington would be legendary.
Yeah. This is a fucked up dinner. Shit. Well, I got an athlete, I got
president and an artist.
Let's see, actor. Let's put an actor in there. Marlon Brando.
Hmm.
You know who he is? Godfather.
Yeah.
He's cool. He had a weird personality. He was like regarded as the best actor ever, but like bro hated the spotlight, so he would like just do all this crazy shit. And then I don't know what's another category I could throw in there.
Hmm. Family member?
Yeah. All right. Just throw my dad in there.
There you go. Personal top 5 artists of all time. Doesn't have to be hip hop related. Could be any genre. All
right. These aren't in any order.
Okay.
Because I don't want to put on spot like that. The Strokes. I'm not going to say Kanye because I don't want to sound like a Kanye diss.
I mean, he is like one of the most creative musicians of all time, but.
I'll put the Beatles in there.
Mm.
I think they're just like influential as hell. I don't know, King Cruel, he's fire.
King Cruel, that sounds so familiar.
This dude from, like, Britain.
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it together.
He's, like, a rapper. I don't know, I'm gonna throw Kanye in there. Fuck it. And then, Nas.
Mm.
Nas is fire.
Yeah, Nas is really good.
That's a safe. I was trying to think of something. I was like, Nas. I can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, no, that's a good answer. I like that. If you were stranded on an island, could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, top to bottom, no skips, what album is that?
It's the only album I got.
Huh?
This is the only album I have
for
the rest of my life?
Yeah.
I listen to like some fucking ambient music, to be honest. I feel like I'd get sick of like a pop album or a rap album. Yeah, there's this one, like, I can't even say the name. I think the band's called like 2814. It's like this like Japanese like electronic music.
I have to listen to this because I don't.
It's pretty tight. It's like it's real, just like chill electronic music. I listen to it when I like need to go to sleep.
Mm.
And I don't have like a fan. I need to sleep with a fan.
You're one of those people?
Yeah.
Dude, my girlfriend's the same exact way. She gets so pissed if there's not a fan on.
Girls always hate me for
that. A fan or like the white noise or yeah.
Yeah, but if I don't have one, I put in my AirPods and put in this weird Japanese album, like puts me to sleep. It's pretty dope.
I'm gonna have to give it a listen.
Just cause it's like
soothing, relaxing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll have to listen to that. Sounds interesting. I've never heard anything like that.
That's a weird answer.
If you had a gun to your head, and you got to sing every lyric to a song in order to stay alive, what song is that?
That's not one of my songs?
Yeah, it's got to be. It can't be one of yours.
Dude, so me and my band were going to cover fucking Million Dollar Baby, which we ended up deciding, like, nah, that'd be corny.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, I went up north, like, a month ago. It's like a 3-hour drive, and I listened to Million Dollar Baby damn near the whole ride so I could fucking memorize the lyrics.
Yeah.
So if I had a gun in my head, I could probably...
In that tone, too?
To a degree.
Really?
To a degree. He's pretty sweet.
Yeah, dude. Where'd he come from? I heard he's been rapping.
Plant, maybe?
No, I heard he's been rapping for a minute. I went through, like, kind of looked through his catalog after he dropped Million Dollar Baby because I saw all the snippets for it and I was like, who is this guy? This song sounds kind of hard. It's got, like, an older vibe to it.
It's, like, soulful.
Yeah. And I guess he's been making music for a while, but I just never heard of him. And you hear that Devil Is a Lie song?
Is that the one where he's like, says some shit about confidence?
Got no confidence. Yeah.
He's a 2-hit.
I'll take it, dude.
People were saying he'd be a 1-hit wonder, but then that one kind of blown up now.
I honestly like that song more than Million Dollar Baby. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I can't hear Million Dollar Baby anymore. I like listen to it too much.
On every single social media platform, too. Every time I scroll down on a video or something. It's a groovy, though. I'm not going to lie. It's a banger.
Yeah, it's sweet.
All right. It's one of my final questions. 10 years from now, if everything goes as planned, where do you see yourself? What do you want to be doing, even if it's not music-related, other ventures as well? You know, what other opportunities do you want to chase after? And as well as music, you know, where do you want to be doing in music 10 years from now?
So I'll be 34. Definitely want to make a living from just recording my own music. That'd be tight. I could see that happening. I think I probably want a family by then. Wife and kid or two. And I don't know, man. I just want to enjoy my life. You know, like mentally I want to be, you know, if I do make a living from my own music, I don't want to have that sacrifice my mental health.
Right.
You know, you see all these people who get super famous and stuff and
can't deal with it.
Yeah, like think about like Justin Bieber. Dude blew up at like 15.
Younger, wasn't he? Wasn't he younger than that? Himself. Dude, I remember watching him like 9 years old or something on YouTube.
Yeah. But it's like when you get all of that attention and stuff, it's difficult to stay grounded and stay level headed.
It's mentally draining, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I guess those would be the three, is like make a living from my music, have a family, mentally be content with where I'm at.
Yeah, it's a good answer. I like that. No, I do want to thank you for coming on. This is a really good episode.
Sweet.
Hope we can continue to work, build this relationship, because I want to cook up. I want to spend some time in the lab with you and pick your brain on just cooking up or even
come through to my studio.
Where you stay at?
Grosse Pointe.
Okay, so that's probably about a little over an hour from my crib, probably.
Maybe, yeah, it's like a 40-minute drive here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I definitely want to stay in touch and keep working, though, because I want to pick your brain a lot, especially when it comes to production. And I'm sure I wish Chance was here to meet you, because...
Was that the other dude who's usually in
there? That's our main engineer. It's Take a Chance Records. Okay, he's an artist. He raps. But no, he's been engineering. That's kind of what he started off as. Well, he started off rapping, and then he became an engineer, just... Because his buddies wanted to record music, and they're still recording here.
Man.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an artist and engineer, it's a good foundation just to like know the technical aspects.
Yeah.
It's going to help.
I've been watching this guy since he was recording in a closet about that big on Audacity and, you know, terrible quality. And now, you know, see the progress. It's crazy. Like just being in his room when we were 16 years old trying to put something together, and now I got a podcast. I'm making beats. Like, it's just crazy to think about. So, but no, I definitely want to keep working with you and just pick your brain.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
And just see what the future holds, because I feel like we could make some dope shit.
And a lot of it's just like knowing the right stuff to do. You know what I mean? Like, I know people who've been making beats for like 20 years and suck.
Really?
I know people who've been making beats for like 6 months and are sweet.
Yeah.
So it's just about like, you know, having your energy directed in the right areas and not like learning the wrong techniques.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I try to, do you know TJ? Producer?
Sounds familiar.
I knew him growing up. That's where actually where I got all my equipment from.
Nice.
You know, I've been wanting to get in the lab with him and just like all these other producers. I just want to, you know, Donez. He works a lot with, he's the one that did Soak City.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's huge, bro. When I first started, I went to Get Fresh, and from Michael, I learned a lot of stuff.
Right.
Anton used to work there. I learned a lot of stuff from him. Like, I would just pay these engineers for their time and just like pick their brains, and I feel like that's what kind of got me far along on the process.
Elevated you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to work with you just to see how your workflow or process goes, and just so see if I can somehow take that, spin it into my own, and, you know, learn from it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be dope. But nah, I do want to thank you for coming on. All of his links will be in the description. Apple Music, Spotify, Instagram, YouTube. You got any other plugs or shout-outs you want to give out real quick?
My band has a show August 15th at the Blind Pig, Ann Arbor. So,
is there a link for like tickets or anything that I can put in the description?
I'm going to see.
Okay.
I don't know. I came unprepared. But yeah, I'll get a link somewhere.
Was that you that posted something about a background female singer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We found one.
Oh, did you? All right, then never mind. You don't need the singer. Yeah, I saw that. Figured maybe shout that out. Anything else before we sign off? This was a good episode, dude.
Nah, man. I appreciate having you.
Yeah, no. Yeah, thank you for coming through. It means a lot, for real. Well, yeah, with that being said, like, comment, subscribe. All of his stuff will be in the description. We'll see you guys next Sunday, I believe. Peace out.
Nice.